As Paul said, if we look at the visible things, this is limited. But if we look at the invisible things, those things are eternal. We have this hope as Abraham did. And in the spirit, they saw this, just like John. When this city comes, we will be built into this city. But the process of getting there, this is something that happens today. We have to lay hold of this today. What did people write about how precious stones come about or come into being? What's the process like? I'm not reading from the scripture, but from science. Precious stones come after millions of years. So if you see a precious stone now, it took millions of years for a precious stone to become a precious stone. They come about under high pressure and with high heat, and they're normally 100 kilometers deep in the earth. This is how most precious stones come into being. Firstly, it takes a lot of years. It's not like we can become precious stones overnight. And then under high pressure, and then in a hot environment, like in hot lava almost. It's super hot. And when this hot material is deep in the earth, and when this comes out and this cools off, then beneath, high pressure really comes about. It's like in a pressure cooker almost. And out of this pressure, these minerals that are in the lava will be pressed together, and after many, many years, they will surface. Some will surface. This, I think, speaks a lot to us. This shows us how the precious stones come into existence. A lot of pressure, a lot of heat, and at least 100 kilometers deep in the earth. Not meters, kilometers. Sometimes we ask the saints, "Oh, how are you doing?" Sometimes we hear, "Oh, I am really down." Then you should say, "Wow, congratulations." Why? Because precious stones are formed in the depths of the earth. Next time you should ask them, "How deep are you in the earth?" 50 kilometers? No, you have to go further, 100 kilometers. And this is where something comes into being for God. Of course, only if we come forward to the Lord in the situation. And as some people have testified today, the psalmist would cry out to the Lord from the depths. What depths are these? The depths through which precious stones come into existence. So it's not bad at all when we are in the depths and go through various types of sufferings, because it belongs to the process of producing such precious stones. But we have to come forward to the Lord and say, "Lord, you have overcome in all things. You were the one who went into the lowest depths. You went all the way to the bottom. The Lord was in the depths and experienced everything that we also experience today." So he went through all these things so he can save us today. So if a precious stone comes into existence through so many millions of years, then what happens to the precious stones? They have to be... they have to still be worked on. And how it is cut, this is where it gains its value. Before precious stones can be attributed with so many euros of worth, they have to be polished and cut. People say that the quality and the choice of how to polish and cut a precious stone, this is decisive for the valuing of this precious stone. Such a value and such a cut can only be executed and done through people who are experts at this work. The Lord has been especially trained to cut such precious stones. None of us is in the position to bring forth such precious stones. So it is better if we don't try to cut one another, but we really leave it to him who really knows how to do it, someone who is specially trained for this. And how was the Lord specifically trained for this service? In Isaiah 53, we have read, he didn't just learn like someone who learns through lectures, but he himself went through all these things. And because he went through every possible problem or difficulty, he went through it himself. And that's why the Lord today is highly qualified and the best cutter or polisher to prepare us for the coming glory. This is what the Lord does to us today. Isn't this encouraging? So when things happen to us where we realize our corners are being cut off, this is what God the Father has arranged so that we, through these experiences, can reflect God's light even better, because the beauty of this precious stone only is expressed when the light shines through the precious stone and is broken and is refracted through the precious stone, and many different colors will be expressed. And this is what I find so encouraging. The Lord is the one who admonishes us today and chastens us. So if he wants to polish and cut us, give yourselves into his hand, because he is especially trained for this work, to deal with the things within you. So a surface will come into existence where the light of the Lord can really enter in and be refracted, so that all the different light rays can be produced. So the precious stones are not just a picture for us, but a reality. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, today we have to build the church with gold, silver, and precious stones. If we want to build such a Zion, then in the church we have to say and be ready to go through these sufferings, these experiences are there so that we can express God's glory. No wonder the city is called, she had the glory of God. And not just in a general way that it's shining from heaven, but it's the glory of God in the saints. And this is what Paul said. There is a glorious inheritance, and when the Lord comes, He will be expressed in His saints. That which He is able to do in our lifetime, this is how He comes to be expressed, how His glory comes forth through us. So I praise the Lord that we not only have seen the sufferings, about the various sufferings, but we also see the glorious result. Many precious stones come into existence in many different colors. And at the end, it will be very glorious. Praise the Lord. Lord, we praise You. Another point about the precious stones that the Lord has shown me is through believing in the Lord and being baptized, each one of us is actually built into this New Jerusalem as a precious stone. That means each one of us is already a precious stone. So the Lord showed me how I look at the saints or view them is not good. If I only see people before my eyes, and I just already see all the problems in this person, then I don't treasure the person. But if I really take this word seriously, that each one of the saints is a precious stone, then I have a completely different view of the saints. And the Lord really showed me my condition. And the question the Lord asked me is, do you want to beat the saints and destroy them? And then I realized I like it when people are brought down by me or brought down and broken, that I don't see any joy in it, but I should see joy when people go on. We really need this view that through my speaking to break them down, I really had to repent for a few things that I used to say, that I would be happy when others are not doing well. Or I like it when it's not revealed how many problems I have. And the Lord told me I have to deal with this and not leave it like this, and to not rejoice when others are not doing well, but to rejoice when they go on in the Lord, to also not be jealous when the Lord polishes and cuts them and where glory comes forth in them. I have to learn a lot from this and from the Lord. Colossians 1:28. I really treasure the attitude of Paul, especially in his serving of the saints. He says, Colossians 1:28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect. Sometimes I thought, okay, we talk about the goal and we want to be perfected and we want to reach perfection. But what does this perfection look like? What does it mean when somebody is perfected? The sin in our flesh is something we'll have all the way until the end. To be perfected does not mean that we have no more sin in our flesh. But this word perfect can also be translated to being fully mature, so that we can present every man in complete maturity in Christ Jesus. And I really treasured this morning. We are all children of God through faith and baptism. But as sons, we want to come to full maturity. And this is the goal that we have, that we would become mature and grow. But multiple times, this burden came up in the epistles to reach full maturity. In Ephesians, Philippians, and in Colossians chapter 4, it says we have to reach full maturity. Amen. I was able to apply this word concerning the precious stones immediately. If you have such a precious stone, what do you do with it? I don't think we would just start playing ping pong with it or throw it against the wall. And I was at lunch and I heard something that didn't really please my soul. And then I already looked away. And then the Lord said, and this is how you deal with the precious stones in my house? And then I said, amen, I need to now deny my soul life. Because it's not my house, and they're not my precious stones. I'm a part of his house and one of the precious stones. Romans 15, starting from verse 5, it said, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be, what, one higher than the other? No, but to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. So it actually describes that we, through Jesus Christ, are all alike. We are all precious stones. It's just each one has a different cut or a different polish. And you cannot say this person looks different from me and so I'm better. But in verse 6 it says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I thought, maybe I can say something about the word. And then the word came to me. First, you want to judge the person, and then you want to encourage them? That doesn't really go together. And then I realized this soulish thinking has to really be purged out. And as once you purge out this type of thinking, then you can build up the others. Otherwise, you're not a good comforter. You'll say, oh, sorry, but I just say it so that I have my own rest. And so I really gain the Lord as a wonderful sin offering, so the Lord can make us free, and that all the dross can be gotten rid of, so that I can really fit into this city. I really thank the Lord that He has given us such a wonderful picture that through the Lord we can reach the goal. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This touched me anew because I'm in a situation right now at work. And I work at a baker, so I see things being baked. But in my experience, too, I am being baked. And it hurts. But He wants me to become a precious stone, that I really deny my soul life. It really hurt me before when things happened at work. And I kept asking the Lord, why does it have to be like that? And the Lord kept telling me, I have a goal with you. I want you to become a precious stone. I want you to be saved. And this really touched me. And it really touched me that we have a conference about the sufferings. And this is really good. It's a good word. I want to really lay hold of it more. And I really want to encourage you. It's not like the Lord gives us the sufferings just so we suffer. But He gives us the sufferings so that we see the goal. So that we can rejoice, like it says in James. It really encouraged me. And I really had to share it with you all. Second Corinthians 5:9-10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In the sufferings, whether we are present or absent, maybe we think, okay, we're at home, we're present, we're in Zion, but maybe if I am in my old man, I can also offend other people in the world, or whether I'm working, or if I'm other so-called sinful people. But we should please the Lord and regardless in which situation. I can also try to please the saints, even here in Zion, but I need to please the Father. The Lord is simply righteous, regardless of what we do. We are not the ones to judge, but we are all the same. We are just men, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And He is the one who will reward us or give us the things that we, according to the things that we have done.
Der Timo hat mir, bevor die Versammlung anfing, so vorgeschwärmt. Amen, wie gut diese Zeit ist.
The brother told me before the meeting, oh, this is so good, this time here at the conference. And it's really encouraging. We really have to speak what is in our heart because it encourages each one of us. It's really a vision when we just talk so abundantly about what the Lord is speaking to us. I worked with a precious stone dealer or person who deals with them and sells them. And this person showed me a few pictures. And if we think about precious stones, we just see the stone. But this is not how it comes about from the earth. Actually, we have no access to mines. And what you buy is not actually a precious stone. You buy 2,000 tons of material filled within sacks. You just see sacks filled with dirt. This is what you buy from a mine. This is what he told me. Before the stones are cut at a jeweler, they are just full of dirt. It's just sacks of dirt. And it really gives me a great appreciation. He took us out of a lot of dirt. It looks like nothing. And this jeweler showed me that out of this debris or rubble, you have to hammer out the precious stone. You just see stones, nothing sparkles.
And it
really, the main thing is the purity of the stone and the cut of the stone. And this person, he was a manufacturer. And he had a place where he would polish and cut the stones. This is what has happened to us. He took us. We're earthly. We come from below, and out of this sack of debris, he took out this stone. This is how we were. And so it's a privilege for us to be polished. What I want to say is that I'm so thankful to the Lord that he found me, that I can be here, that I can hear the word, and that he wants to do his work within us. In Revelation 21,
in Vers 5 steht, siehe, ich mache alles neu.
21:5 it says, behold, I make all things new. I love this word. Behold, I make all things new. All things new. But this is just one half of it. In verse 7 it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And this is our part. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And this is exactly what we are hearing now. The Lord will make everything new, and he does make all things new. But he tells us we have to overcome, and we have to overcome everything that is written in all the epistles. I'm really happy that we're hearing the whole truth. Because otherwise we just say, amen, behold, you make all things new, hallelujah. But it also says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And saints, I want to inherit all things. Otherwise, the race that I have run until now would have been in vain. So he who overcomes shall inherit all things, so it is possible. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been written here. Lord, give us such a polish, such a cut, so that we would shine. You have to see that something would shine in me. Otherwise, it wouldn't be normal. Something has to shine within us. The people have to see something in us. Praise the Lord for the entire truth. I'm really thankful for this. Who else wants to say something? It's a wonderful conference. I really received a lot of grace from God. Especially concerning the sufferings and the grace that brings us to holiness. I also received some verses. Ephesians 6, 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have to go into the fight, into the battle. I don't think you can fight without suffering or go to battle without suffering. Jesus Christ was a wonderful example. In Luke 4, 1-2, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they ended, he was hungry." The Lord was suffering for 40 days. And then you see in verses 14 and 15 of Luke 4, it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region." And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. This is after he suffered. Jesus was our example that he returned in the power of the Spirit. At the end, the Lord wants to turn us to these precious stones, and we want to become the precious stones, just like Job. Like Job 23, the Lord really knows all our works and everything that we go through in our sufferings. And if he tests me, this is what I will say. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." I'm here in Zion, but my wife and my kids are still in Babylon. But I really pray that the Lord would show his holiness to my wife, that my whole family would come out of Babylon. Lord, bring them out of Babylon. Bring John's family out of Babylon. Amen. Lord, call the entire family out of Babylon. Bring them to Zion. Second Corinthians 6.
"Als Mitarbeiter aber ermahnen wir euch auch, dass ihr die Gnade..."
We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And now the polishing and the cutting comes. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. It's not done yet. By purity, amen. By knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, amen. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live. Amen. As chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Amen. As poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Praise the Lord. 3 years ago, my husband and I, we were in a place where there used to be glaciers, and there were precious stones just lying around. And now we are in a time where the ice is melting, and the Lord is really near. I couldn't gather enough precious stones. So I took some precious stones. They are lying around at home, but they have not yet been polished, not yet cut. But what I want to say is that the day is approaching. And so we need to be ready to be let ourselves be polished. Yeah. By evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, by honor and dishonor, as dying, amen, my soul life has to die. And behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed. Because the Lord knows the measure that we can withstand, as sorrowful. My husband knows sometimes how sorrowful I am, but always rejoicing, as poor, or if I make others sorrowful, how can I then be rejoicing? So we need to rejoice always, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing. What do I have? Amen. Yeah, but I have Christ within me, and that's why I possess all things. Amen. That was 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. I also want to praise the Lord that in preparing for this conference, the Lord really made something clear to me and showed me how wrong my concepts are about sufferings. And the Lord was really able to deal with these concepts, because I used to always think the sufferings that we encounter, I try to get through them as quickly as possible with the Lord, to think, oh, that it'll be easier later so that I won't have to go through the same suffering again, so that I will have learned something and that things will be easier. But we have to really get rid of these thoughts. Because we have to be ready to suffer. His sufferings, the Lord's sufferings, did not decrease, but they increased. So we cannot look at the suffering, but we have to look at what Christ has purposed. Christ has such a wonderful goal. We can use all these chances that we would become more glorious, that this light would shine into us and be refracted, so that the glory of God can be seen in each one of us. As it says in Isaiah 54:14, all sufferings contribute to our being established. In righteousness you shall be established. All our own things will be polished away, and at the end, only the glory of God will remain. And so it is good to not be afraid of sufferings, because they're going to be there regardless. But the glory of the Lord can increase. How do these sufferings begin? In Isaiah 52:13, says, he will deal prudently. He will be exalted and extolled and be very high. You really see that this servant is so wonderful. But he is still alone. And the result at the end, when we go through these two chapters, when we see the last verse of chapter 54, it says, "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No enemy can resist and withstand this servant anymore." And through this process, we see that the heritage of the servants of the Lord will have then gained us as servants. It wouldn't be that just one would deal prudently and the rest not. But at the end, God has many servants of the Lord. This is what he desires. When I was at the mountains, I wouldn't have not discovered these little granules. But the person leading the tour had eyes for this. Because you pass by these stones and you don't see them. But there is one who sees every stone. These precious stones, all your children will be taught by the Lord. I really thank the Lord that he is full of mercy. He doesn't say congratulations that you're in the depths, but he also encourages us to come to him. Someone who is your neighbor, it's each one of us, so we should go with our neighbors. What does the Lord say that we should do? He said the Levite and the priests went to the other side, and this one Samaritan saw him and was full of mercy and bound him and had oil and put him on his own horse or animal. And the next day he gave him money, and he even wanted to pay for where he was able to stay overnight. The Lord is full of mercy. At the pool of Bethesda, no one helped this person, but the Lord helped him. The Lord is really highly to be praised. If the ones who cry out to him for help, he will come and help and teaches us. He's the one who taught us the person who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And then he said, "Yeah, go to the one next to you." Isaiah 53, it says the Lord pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. These are very strong verses. Shows us that a servant of the Lord and the servant of the Lord experience a very special dealing. And during this time, the Lord has really spoken, and with this sentence, I wasn't able to deal with it. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he let him suffer." I couldn't understand this before. Do I know the Lord as someone who bruises, who gives his servant sufferings? But it is so wonderful to understand his purpose. If he wants to perfect us in this time, and if he wants to finish his eternal plan with us, then we need a special treatment. It doesn't mean that how I am and just how my disposition is, that we can just in some way complete his plan. That is completely impossible. We need this deeper and more earnest dealing from the Lord. Even the Messiah, this strong one, he had to go through the strongest dealing and treatment from the Lord. The Lord needs servants. He will not complete his work alone or just by our waiting for him or on him. But there have to be people who are ready to fulfill this work with him. And what does this look like? The Lord will also have to bruise us. The Lord will have to deal with things within us where you wouldn't have expected it to come. But it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, because God wants to reach something. He has put him to grief. The Lord lets many things come our way because he has a huge goal. But he doesn't just leave us there. But it says he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We can always turn to the one who has already gone through the process. When you go through the process alone, it's not easy. But we have someone who went through much more than we have. And we have to turn to this one. And we have to say to this one, "Lord, we want to be a servant in your hand. I want to accept it from you." And then it says, "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied." This is really an experience. If we realize how the Lord is breaking something within us, bruising something within us, that could not have been changed in any other way, then there is a certain amount of satisfaction in God and also in our life because we realize God is going on in us. It's really horrible to see that God cannot go on with us and that we're just stuck in our situation when there's no more transformation, no progress in our transformation. So that's why it says he will be satisfied. The Lord has to become more and more visible in each one of us. The work in us has to be purer, has to become holier and more glorious. But it is not just that he wants to work in us, but it says, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It is the work of the Lord that we will become those who can bear one another. The Lord has to deal with something within us so he can make us those who can bear the burdens that others have to bear. And this is something I want to see more. It's not that the sufferings are just so I can think about myself and to look at only the sufferings in my life. But he says he shall bear their iniquities. The Lord became able to bear the iniquities. This is an amazing effect to let our Lord work in such a way. What we would say, yeah, Lord, we really need to let the Lord work within us. Often we want to resist, but then it doesn't go on. Then the Lord's work will stay standing still. But you have to give him free room to work within you. And then it says in verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For the Messiah to do this, to let himself be numbered with the transgressors, is really something incredible. But he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Lord went through so much so that we can now gain him. This is my goal. I want to gain the Lord. What the Lord arranges, well, we can't change it. We can influence it. But regardless of what he arranges, we want to become useful for his purpose, that we become those who can bear and even bear the burdens and iniquities of others, to even intercede for the transgressors. The result that he reached in the Lord was very glorious. And I think now is the time where he can reach this goal in us as well. The time has become really short. So it is wonderful to see that God wants to do this work in us. It is really an encouragement. The Lord leaves us, and then we just talk about joy and enjoyment, then it's over. A conference about eating, drinking, enjoying. I don't want to partake of such a conference. It's not helpful. It's really not helpful for the time in which we're living today. The time in which we're living today, we really need a completely different view and a new experience of this Christ. He even interceded for the transgressors. He really became one who interceded for so many others. And this has come into my heart in these days, to really enter more into the service of intercession, not to criticize, not to demand things of others, but to much more give ourselves to pray for others. Here it says transgressors, so even if there's reason for you to think badly of someone, that's when you need to intercede. And this does not come so easily. But it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. So the work that he is doing on us today is a very precious work. So I really want to commit my soul to him and not resist him. But I want to see his work be perfected and completed. I really have to add to this. Verse 11, it says, "For he shall bear their iniquities." And verse 12, "And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." This is really something where the Lord wants to increase in me and in all of us. It's often in such a case when someone transgresses in my environment, then within me, this criticism comes and this judgment, and maybe even rightly so. But that's not what it's all about. The Lord could have judged so many people, but he bore everything instead. The Lord told me, "You cannot bring about redemption, but you can bear the iniquity of others." And how does this work? Just as Christian said, or rather as Isaiah said, he made intercession for the transgressors, and I had a small situation like this. Someone behaved wrongly, and it really frustrated me and annoyed me within. But to not criticize, but I started to pray. Then the Lord showed me, "Look at your reaction. You are just as much a transgressor." And the prayer turned from, "Lord, forgive him," to, "Lord, forgive us." Yeah, this is really wonderful. So in small things, we can bear the sins of others through this prayer that we can bear it. It really gives such peace within. And then Romans 5 became more precious to me. Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." But we need this same attitude for the people around us. Praise the Lord. I have good verses to confirm this. Galatians 6:2. "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I was very encouraged to see that we are all precious stones. This really changed my view, to see that we are all precious stones, and to not just look at ourselves, but to care for one another. So we will fulfill the law of Christ. The Lord was just like this. He really interceded for others. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Amen. Amen. Yeah, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This showed me again. We saints, among one another, we have to encourage one another and also suffer for one another, just like the servant of the Lord. We also can become such servants as the Lord was, and to not grow weary while doing good, but it really requires time, and we should not grow weary, but precious stones really need time to be produced. So we should not think, oh, that when it doesn't progress as quickly as we would want it to, we should still not grow weary. He's the one who is so patient with us, so we should also be patient with one another. Just want to confirm a point from this morning. It was just shortly mentioned, but it is very important. In the outline, C1 at the end, to preserve constantly a soft and a contrite heart, a repentant heart. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And Isaiah 65:2, "I have stretched out my hands all day long." I want to look at the one who trembles at my word. Isaiah talks about a broken and a contrite heart, or a repentant heart, a repentant spirit. The other verse was Isaiah 66:2. Before the conference, I wanted to pray for something else, but the Lord gave me these two verses and showed me, for this coming time, if you really want to be perfected through sufferings, then first and foremost, you need such a heart that is not full of bitterness, that is willing to repent, that is willing to repent every day and ready for this, and to really be humble, and where needed, to be bruised by him so that something glorious would come forth. And as I read these verses, first I started to pray for the saints, but at the end I really had to pray for myself, because I realized I need this heart much more. Because there are many people in this world who experience much sufferings, and through this they become very bitter and hardened. This shows that sufferings per se or alone do not bring us to perfection, but suffering along together with this contrite heart and spirit, this is what brings forth the precious stones. And I think this is important, where after the conference, if we stay in this word, to really have to preserve the soft heart towards the Lord. And for this, we really have the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. If anything wants to come up within our heart, complaining about my situation, or complaining about this difficult situation, then we can keep this feast to purge it out and eat the Lord. And so if every day we take care of our hearts, that it is contrite and humble, then the Lord really will have a lot of room within us to polish us. And at the end, there will be many precious stones.